funeral of my aunt, and it was a quick turnaround trip for me. I don't usually take quick trips too much like that. I usually drive at night when I go on, especially on the long trips like that, because of all the cities I got to travel through. If you travel at night, everybody else is in bed. There's not any traffic. And in the big cities, if you hit them things at the wrong times, oh boy, it really slows you down, and it's bumper to bumper and sometimes stopping and everything, because everybody's getting out and going to work or getting off work. Like Cincinnati and Columbus, it doesn't really matter how you try to, if you go through it or try to take a bypass around it, you're still going to end up in the same condition. And the bypass around them, especially Cincinnati, the bypass around them add a lot of miles. It does in Columbus as well, but so it's better if you can just go through them, you know. There's a few turns and things like that, but you're still staying on the same route. But it's better if you can just go through them. It cuts down on miles, and if you don't got to deal with traffic because it isn't just right in the cities where you deal with the traffic. It's several miles out till several miles beyond. It's something. I've been there during those times, so I try to usually drive at night. So I left Wednesday about 10 o'clock Wednesday night here, and I got in up there around about 8 Thursday morning, and they asked me to speak for that night. And so I was actually so tired, because I didn't, you know, Wednesday, I spent all day Wednesday getting ready to go. I tried to lay down and go to sleep, but I don't know, I was hurting different things so bad than that. I was actually dreading the trip, so I couldn't go to sleep. So I was up from, you know, I slept Tuesday night, and I didn't sleep anymore until sometime Thursday afternoon. So I was getting ready for the service up there, and I thought, well, I'll get some notes ready before I lay down. I'll lay down for a little bit to try to recoup before I have to go preach. I had my mind centered on putting some notes together, and I wasn't really thinking about having any connection with anything, because my mind was so tired. So I didn't think until I actually got in the pulpit and up on the platform, and Brother Samuel mentioned something about my aunt's funeral and her passing away and her not suffering anymore and all that. And I thought, oh, that's why God laid this on my heart. And so what I spoke on was things I spoke out of here, out of 2 Corinthians, about the body change of the believer and there being no body waiting when the unbeliever dies. They've got no body waiting on them, and all about those dimensions and all that. And it seemed to be quite a blessing to the people. Got a lot of comments on it that evening, then even the next day when I saw several of them over at the funeral home and that. I guess there was there were some that said to me, you know, they just never really knew that's how it was or understood that, you know, it was very fitting with going into my aunt's funeral and that. And then Sunday, my brother had asked if I would sometimes share my testimony of how God had healed me from the mental illness that I had suffered through and that. And so I spoke on that on Sunday morning and that, and it was the Lord really blessed. And that, so and then I don't know, but I may end up getting invitations out of that to go share that testimony in a lot of other places and that, because there were some already different churches spoke of it and that. So, but you know, we preached on Thursday, and then Friday I spent a little time with my brother, and then we had to go to the viewing at the funeral home that evening, and then get up early on Saturday to get ready for the funeral. The funeral, it lasted, you know, all the little luncheon they had afterwards, and all this stuff lasted later on into the afternoon, and that. And so by the time that you went out then and ate dinner, got back home, I was wore out, had to get up early the next morning to preach, and that, you know, and then try to, and no matter how many times it seems like you try to tell them, look, I need to lay down because I'm gonna leave Sunday night, you know, and it just never seems to work out good. And so I only got maybe a couple hours sleep before I left out on Sunday night, so I drove all the way through, and Michael was awake for the bathroom stops, and that was about it. Because he didn't lay down and sleep at all before we left. So it's kind of, you know, you're by yourself for about 10 and a half hours, really, you know, and nobody to spell you. So you stopped several times in that. So I got back home on Monday morning, and then, you know, had things to do. So I couldn't go to bed. So I spent the whole day doing all the stuff that I had to do and everything here. And that, and so then went to bed Monday, and I slept, I didn't sleep well. I slept till about midnight, and I went to bed about 7, and I slept till about midnight, and then I just couldn't get no good sound sleep after that. But I'd just been trying to catch up on my rest, and you know, you know as you get older, you don't recover quite as quick from all that. When I was a young man in the Army, man, I could go and go and go and go and go. But I just, you get wore out a lot easier. It don't take as much to tire you out now, but it takes a whole lot more time to recover. So we just trust in the Lord. That's why usually I don't do a quick turnaround trips like that. It's just too much on you. You need some time to recoup before you head back home. And especially if you got that much going on. So, you know, because it wasn't like I was just going for a visit. You know, I worked the entire time. So there's something always going on. But praise the Lord, it was for His glory. Amen. Let's bow our heads in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this service, for this time that we can come and gather, Father, to hear from you and learn from your word, dear God, in these Bible studies that we have on Thursday evenings, Father. And I pray your blessings now to the word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I know we've went over this already, this chapter, a couple of times, but I just felt compelled to come back to it to expound a little more on what I had had delivered to you on the last Thursday I spoke here. Let's begin reading at verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now, let me just stop there just a moment. When the Jews would find somebody guilty of something and punish them, they actually went according to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 3, which was given in the law that when somebody was due to be punished, that they could receive 40 stripes they could give them. But not to, but it's clear that it says not to exceed that. So I just want to expound on what Paul's saying here when he says 40 stripes save one. What they did was they the Jews actually beat them with a leather scourge that had knots in it. And what they would do, because they weren't, you know, it was a flogging, but they weren't flogging them to death. They were just punishing them. And they didn't want to, they didn't want to break the law, so they didn't want to go over 40. So what they actually did was they gave them 39 stripes. But they were also particular about that. There was 13 given to the breast, 13 given to the left shoulder, and 13 given to the right shoulder. So that would be 39. So Paul got that done five times. That means 195 stripes he received. So, you know, that's, and I mean, and it wasn't just, you know, like a ritualistic. He felt this stuff. They hit them to inflict pain. So I just wanted to point that out to explain that, what he means, 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Now, if you look this up, you find that, see, the Jews, and Paul specifies the Jews whipped him five times, and that, but the Romans actually beat them with rods. Now, usually Paul would, you know, declare that he was a Roman citizen, and that so that they wouldn't beat him. But they don't know exactly how this might have took place in history, because there's really no record of it other than Paul saying this here of how it actually took place. But that it was beaten, that he was beaten with rods would have been done by the Romans. So three times he was beaten with rods, and then once he was stoned. And of course, we know this wasn't stoned to death. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night have I been in deep, and journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I'm not burned? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus the king kept the city of Damascenos with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall to escape his hands. Amen. You may be seated. So this is actually just Paul was pointing at things that he suffered. And even though he said, if I'm going to glory in anything, I'll glory in my infirmities. But Paul wasn't actually saying these things to try to project, you know, look what I've done, look what I've endured. But this follows a continuity with the other things that Paul would write, and that as well as James and as well as Peter, that dealing with the suffering for Christ. And we know that when God called Paul, that he actually said, I'm going to show him what he's going to suffer for my name's sake. And so all these things that happened to Paul was sufferings that Paul suffered through and endured through. Now, yes, the scourgings, the whippings, the beatings with the rod, all these different things, of course, those aren't things that would have been things of that age and time, you know. So it's not something that we would necessarily be seeing of ourselves. In prison, you know, so far right now, you know, I think we're still squeaking through, but they haven't been actually throwing people in prison over religious things and that. So, you know, I don't think that's something yet. I don't know, you know, what will happen by the time or before we leave here. But anyway, Brother Branham talks about the suffering and persecutions that Paul suffered. And he says that Paul suffered like Christ. And he said that he suffered these things, till he knowed what it was to suffer. And Brother Branham said so he knew how to sympathize then with others in their suffering. So that he would, what Brother Branham's point is, see, Paul, through these sufferings, he would have understanding for others. Paul knew what it was to be an outcast. He knew what it was to be in prison. He knew what it was to bear persecutions and that. And so Brother Branham gives an example of what he's saying as far as Paul having an understanding for what others endure in that, because what Paul spoke about with the man in the scripture, where the slave who had ran away, and then he got saved, come to Christ, and Paul was sending him back to where he had come from, and he was telling the man who had formerly been his master, who was actually a Christian, that, you know, not to treat him like a slave, to accept him in as a brother. And Paul said, look, if he owes you anything, I'll pay it myself. And so Paul, you know, sympathizing with others in that, because he knew how others, what they went through. Now, it wasn't that Paul actually suffered everything that everybody suffers, but it was that Paul understood suffering, you know, that people would go through because of things he suffered. Brother Branham, in that same message, Brother Branham, he finishes off by saying, that's the reason that Christ became human, that he might know the groans of sickness, that he might know the heartaches and the disappointments, for he's been partaker of the kind of life that we have, of disappointments and heartaches and sickness, and he bore our sicknesses and our troubles in that. And then in Hebrews, if you want to turn with me there, Hebrews chapter 2. There's a few scriptures I want to point to here with this tonight to bring you to how really does all this apply to us. Verse 5 of chapter 2, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. Now, the angels, they don't suffer as we suffer, as humanity suffers. You know, so we find here, let's just go on, it says, but in one certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. So we see here that for God to come down and live the kind of life that we live, to suffer things that we suffer, he had to be made in the same flesh that we're in. He couldn't come as an angelic being, because they don't suffer what we suffer. You know, so he actually had to come down, as the song says, and become us. Amen. You know, take on the same, friends, look, it was the same flesh that you live in. You know, so he was made lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. Look down to verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So we realize, yes, he's the captain of our salvation. And as him being the captain of our salvation, and he was made perfect through sufferings, then we see, look, we are going to suffer too. And this suffering, it's not something that you are forcing on yourself. All right. Now, if you look this up, actually, and many of the Catholics still follow this, where they actually, they'll flog themselves. They whip themselves. This is rituals and things they go through. Actually, there was one pope, I won't mention his name, but it, not long ago, he actually had a book released, and of course, they're looking into, you know, moving him into sainthood. But it's written that he whipped himself and slept on the hard floor, so that he thought it would bring him closer to Christ, suffering like Christ. That's not the suffering that the Bible is talking about. You know, and look, every Easter, you might not know this, but every Easter in the Philippines, they actually have a public ritual that happens. You can see it, actually, if you ever want to look it up on YouTube, you know, you can see that what I'm telling you is the truth. They whip themselves out in the streets. They have these marches, these parades, and they whip themselves. They actually will whip one another. They'll actually beat one another with boards and things, and things. And they have this ritual every Easter. They do it out, right out on the street. It's a public thing. It's like I guess like a big parade type thing or whatever, you know. And they're doing it. You realize they're sincere. And they're to them, it's entering into suffering with Christ. That's not the way we enter into suffering with Christ. That's not how you suffer for his name's sake. That's just you inflicting, that's just them inflicting something on themselves, you know. And to even bring this even to another point, Claire, you know, sometimes we suffer things that we actually in this life bring on ourselves. You know, for instance, if you go out and you break the law and get thrown in jail, you're not suffering for Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Because I've heard different ones in the past say things to me about, you know, look what I'm suffering for being a Christian. No, there's some things like that, you know, they're not suffering that for Christ, you know. But there are just things that you go through in this life, you know. Persecutions for your Christian walk and stand, that is suffering for Christ, for his name's sake, you know. And actually, friends, look, the sufferings that you go through in sickness and everything else, that's also part of it. And we know that Paul wrote also in Hebrews 4, you know, that he's a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Because, you know, it says, because he in all points was tempted like that we're tempted. So, you know, Brother Branham says, Jesus Christ knows what you are going through. He knows your condition. He even told the people there in one service in Pool of Bethesda that were coming for healing, that he told them, he says, look, you can be healed if you'll just believe. Realize this, that Jesus knows the condition you're in, and if you'll just believe, you can be healed from it. But now turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Now, this is a scripture that, you know, perhaps we've heard it used many times, but with actually maybe a quite different context. I want to show you what I want to point out to you from it tonight. Verse 5 of Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion of man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. So, you know, many times people say, let the mind that was in Christ, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And many times they're actually bringing a context to point at, I guess reframing from worldliness and all these different things like this. But what I want to point out to you from these verses I just read to you was that, and connecting them in with the other passages of Scripture, is that the way to have the mind that was in Christ is Christ came down and he was made in our form, in our flesh, and he suffered things so that God could know what it was like to be in our shoes. So to let the mind of Christ Jesus be in you, then, you know, many times we say, I want to be Christ-like. And usually what we're talking about when we say that is we're usually talking about holy living and different things like that. But to be Christ-like is also to suffer. You know, and we as humans, look, humans don't like to suffer. Nobody can say, I like to suffer. Paul never said he liked to suffer. But Paul brought out that it was something that we were going to do. And Paul said, look, I have learned to have and to not have. I've learned to be, you know, to be full, Paul says, and I also have learned to be hungry. And he says, so I have learned that no matter what's going on, Paul says it this way, whatsoever state I find myself in other words, no matter what I'm going through, what the conditions are, whatever is happening currently in my life, I find just be content. That's against our nature. Our nature is to whine and complain. But Paul said, I have found the best thing to do. Don't whine and complain about it. Just go on. You know, say, why? Well, you know, the same scripture that I was reading to you out of, have I read it yet? I guess I didn't read it yet. But it's actually in Romans, you know, we look at it, it says, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. It's going to work out to your benefit, whatever you're going through. But this is something else I want to point out from that scripture. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So sometimes something you're suffering and going through works out to benefit somebody else. So it's you're going to get benefited out of it, even if it's character molding. But there are times where things that you go through, it actually ends up helping other people because that you, like Paul and like Christ, as Brother Branham was bringing out in that particular message I was sharing with you there, was that we know what it's like to go through these things so we can actually be able to sympathize with others that are going through things. Now, we don't all experience exactly all the same situations and things and trials and sicknesses and all these things, but you know what it's like to face trials. You know what it's like to go through persecution. You know what it's like to be sick. Brother Branham himself said, he says, look, I know what it's like to be sick. I've been sick. So I understand what you're going through, he says, and I'm here to help you. So let this mind that's in Christ Jesus also be in you. realizing, friends, look, things that you go through, you know, like, you know, I was telling you, I gave the testimony, and it, look, I don't know, I guess I didn't spend a lot of time on it here at the church really testifying about it and that, but friends, you know, the mental illness that I had suffered from, it lasted for several years. It actually started on me back in 2011, and it wasn't until actually this past year that I got completely healed from it. So it was something that was on me for years that I was struggling with, you know. And, you know, like I say many times, that it seems like sometimes people in general, they kind of have a, I don't know, like a, the word's kind of eluding my mind right now, but they kind of got like a stigma about when it comes to mental illness. They accept, you know, people having other physical illnesses, but people having mental illnesses, it's like we don't talk about that. Like it's some kind of bad mark against their family or something. Hey, look, friends. Mental illness, you know, it can be something that actually can run in families and things, just like nervousness and everything else, and that. But it's not a virus. It ain't like it's contagious. You know, I've seen people, you know, in the restrooms here in Dixon, you know, sometimes they'll have a group of these mentally handicapped people that they're taking around, and I don't know what all they're doing, but they'll have like a group of them, and they'll be, you know, they have to take them into the restrooms and that, you know, so they all go to the restroom, and, you know, and as they get done, they can't leave. They got to stand there till everybody gets done, and the person that's in charge of them gets done to take them out of there. So I've seen one standing there, and he was standing by the place where you pull out the paper towels, and as people were washing their hands coming up, he was pulling out paper towels to hand to them. And the people act like if they touched them paper towels, they were going to catch something. They would actually reach around him to get their own paper towels. You know, sometimes people got a stigma about this different stuff. But also people got a stigma about it because they think, you know, oh, well, you know, you don't want to go to the doctor over those things and all that. You know, look, I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm not advocating people go to the doctor, you know, for it, you know, unless it's something that you need to do and that. And I'll tell you this, medications and different things they give you for it and all that, it's not healing you. It's not curing you. You know, it's like an assistance to try to get the person through it. It's mainly masking things is really what it's doing. But what you need is actually healing from the Lord. But, you know, I'm also not condemning people, you know, or telling people, you know, it's wrong to get treatment, seek treatment from, you know, it's just like anything, any other kind of illness and sickness you have. You say, well, I want God to heal me from it, you know. And I find a lot of times that, boy, here I go, I'm getting on something I really didn't want to get on. But I find a lot of times that people, you know, it isn't really that they got faith. You know, they'll quit taking their medication for high blood pressure or something and say, well, I'm just going to believe God. God's healed me. I ain't taking it. Go ahead. You might drop over of a stroke or something. That's not faith. Faith is actually a revelation. Faith is something that drops down and anchors. It's not something that passes through here. It's not something. It's not an intellectual something. You know, it's not positive thinking, and that's what I've seen. Some folks, it seems like they do. You know, positive thinking and denial. Well, I'm just gonna. I don't got that. Maybe we'll get into that sometime. I know I've preached on faith before, but anyway, let's get back to this. Being Christ-like, it turns me to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto are you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So here Peter is laying out, Christ suffered, and he left an example for us. And, you know, then James actually brings out how that the prophets, they spoke in the name of the Lord, and he says, and for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. So the prophets then, you know, Christ leaves this example for us, but the prophets also leave this example, you know, which we suffer for the name of God, you know, for standing up for truth. Philippians 1 and 29, Paul writes this, for unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So just believing on Christ is not everything. It's not all. We also, because we believe, we suffer. Turn me to Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So there's nothing we're going through in suffering that would say, well, man, I'll tell you what, I suffered so bad. And, you know, when we get through this, we're not going to look back on these sufferings, because what we're going to is so far surpasses, so much greater. You know, that Paul there in Romans is saying, what we're suffering, it doesn't even compare to what we're going to actually get. How things are actually going to be. You know, the sufferings we suffer in this flesh, sufferings of sickness and infirmities and these different things and all that, friends, look, compare that to getting a body change. A new body that you'll never suffer those things again, because that body's not subject to it. That body is not subject to death. Amen. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that's what Paul actually is going into in the rest of this, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. And what's the manifestation of the sons of God? The body change. Now watch, he'll actually say that. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption in the glorious liberty of the children of God. There it's what he's talking about right there, the bondage of corruption, which we have in this body. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. So we know we've been redeemed, and we have come into that redemption in our souls, free from sin, but we're still suffering in this body. But one day we're going to be in a body that is not subject to death, so we will not be suffering. That is the redemption of the body that Christ came to pay for. As I was saying earlier, I went in to say, you know, that I had suffered with these things many years with the mental illness and things like that. Friends, look, I'm not saying this to take any glory upon myself, but I've seen and actually witnessed here, but I witnessed it again this past weekend, you know, how that sharing that what God had actually showed me through it all, how I grew in actually the revelation and understanding of faith and showing God dealing with those things, you know, because I'll tell you this, you might not realize it, but actually, you know, and it's not like it's something new. Mental illness has been around for a long time. But you think about the way they used to treat it back like in the, 30s and maybe even 40s and stuff like that. People went through them. You know what they did? They fried part of their brain. They gave them shock treatments. How medieval. All they did was kill brain cells. I had my grandmother on my mom's side, you know, she was suffering from some mental illness, and of course they say, well, she started going through the change in life and different things like that for a woman and that. But she actually suffered some mental illness and things, and what they did was they took her in for treatments and they gave her shock treatments. You know, and I can remember as a little preschooler living with my grandparents and being there, and my grandmother, all she did, she wouldn't eat. She was like a rack of bones, and she just stood there. She never talked. She stood there like this all the time, just like that, with her arms just crossed like this. And I used to, as a little kid, I wasn't in school yet, but I was always playing outside. I would get a hold of her arm because she liked to stand outside, and I'd get a hold of her arms, and I'd lead her over to wherever I wanted to play, and she'd stand there, and I'd play in the dirt or whatever. And she'd just stand there until I led her somewhere else. And she never spoke or anything, you know. And it was sometime later that she actually got well. And return back to a normal state, but she still suffered some ill effects from those treatments, I think, and things they had put her through. You know, it brought on things that she probably wouldn't otherwise have had, and that. But but it seems like that mental illness has become even more prominent in the day we're living. Amen. And you realize that everywhere you look, you see people that are dealing with this depression. Yeah. And friends, and sometimes people think, you know, well, you know, the way you deal with it is just don't think that way. Well, that's not the way it works. You know, I'll tell you, at one time, that's how I kind of approached it, what I kind of thought. Because of, you know, what I had been taught in military was, you know, it was always mind over matter. But that's not how this works. You know, it's an illness, and it's not a depression that somebody is feeling feeling sad because of things that are happening in their lives. It's something that, just like Brother Branham said with himself, he says, I go through this every 7 years. Well, we find out every 7 years, the body goes through chemical changes. And Brother Branham said, I suffer through this every 7 years. He says, and I suffer depression, and I suffer these different things, mental anxieties and things. But God does bring relief. God does bring healing. Second Timothy, Paul says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecutions. And he says that about himself, persecutions, afflictions came upon him in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, and what persecutions I endured, but out of all of them, God delivered me. So, and then we know that Paul also writes, and we'd actually read this last year, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul says, there's no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So look, there's nothing we're going to go through that we're not going to be able to bear. And I believe this, friends. I believe that because of things that I've read in the scriptures, and because of things that I've read that Brother Branham said, you know, where Brother Branham says, if you cry and complain about it, it just makes God want to kick you around a little more. You know, that if you whine and complain about it while you're going through it, well, guess what? If you'd have just kept your mouth shut and not whined about it and just been content in the state you're within, you might not have ever had to go through it again. But because you whine and kick and fuss and complain about it, you're just going to keep going through it over and over and over. You say, how long? Until you quit crying and fussing about it. And just take it and go on. Because really what it's all about is trusting God. Do you know why a lot of times we whine and complain about things? Because of fear. We're living under fear. How am I going to make it? How am I going to pay this? How am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to tell you what. Being afraid about it and upset about it ain't going to solve any of it. But if you just put it in God's hands and say, look, what in the world is it used to being all tore up about this right now? God has always provided for me. He's always brought me out. I'm not going to be like Israel and complain every time I'm faced with something. Amen. Amen. I mean, God will come down and deliver you out anyway. But look at Israel. There was always something else they had to face and go through. And sometimes they face the same thing more than once. And God actually got so upset with them because they wouldn't just trust him. They could have looked at everything he was doing, how he took care of them and everything else, but instead they whined and complained every time. Right. And God said, I've had it. Moses, step aside. I'm killing them all. I'm that fed up. I'm just going to kill them. Put that in your bag with loving God. God of love. You know, I don't want to get on that. That's another message. Maybe I've got one more part to that message in that. But God's not going to put on us more than we can bear. So just learn to be content with it, you know. And, you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, he talks about all the things that he goes through and all these things and he says, I've been made all things to all men. In other words, you're going through all these things, and Paul's saying this, and I'll tell you that he's talking about the care of the churches, and I'll tell you this, the pastors go through this because we've got to be able to actually speak and guide you know, through this journey that we're on. You know, and all these things we're speaking of, it's not just take up time here tonight or present to you a good little speech or something, but it's actually giving you guidance, friends. You want to be Christ-like? This is how we're Christ-like. We just take it and go on and trust God. And no, he's not going to put on us more than we can bear. And everything we go through, he is going to provide a way of escape. He is going to deliver us, as Paul said, out of every one of the things that we go through. All the persecutions and everything else, there is a deliverance. Sometimes it may take a while. You know, I know with us, you know, as humans, generally what we want to say, oh, I just started in this. God, get me out of it right now. Think about this. When Peter and Dunham got thrown in prison, they couldn't call Daddy and say, come down here and get me out. I don't want to stay tonight in jail. But that's what people today do. They get in jail, first thing they want to do is call mom and daddy or somebody and say, get me out of here right now. God let him stay in there a little while. God actually brought him out. We know that. Paul was in jail. What, nobody he could call up and say, hey, get me out of here. He just had to trust God. You know, now we might not be getting thrown in jail, but we go through sometimes some trials and some circumstances sometimes that are not desirable, that sometimes make us miserable. And during the thing, you know, then you've got all the mental attacks that the devil wages on you with all these thoughts he tries to inject into your head while you're going through these things. Paul says, I've been made all things for all men. In other words, we go through things, friends. It is for our perfecting. But it's also so that we can be understanding and sympathetic to our brothers and sisters who also suffer. You know, I point you to this. Brother Branham says, if you want your prayers to be successful, he said, put yourself in that person's shoes. So, you know, then Brother Branham, what he relates then is that, look, I can pray for you. I know how to pray for you. I know how to point you toward reaching and touching God and actually having faith anchor. He says, I know this and know how to show you this because I've been through it myself. Put yourself in their shoes. Brother Branham actually even say, he says, while I'm up here praying for people, he said, you be praying out there. And he says, and you think about that, what if that was my wife or my husband or my daughter or my son that was up there getting prayed for? He says, and then you pray like that, in that kind of a mind. And if you do that, then your prayers will be successful. What I experienced with the mental illness that I was going through and things, and I very much likened or really connected with something I was reading. I believe I already shared it with you in another service, that Brother Branham was saying about where he was suffering with that sickness, illness in his stomach. And actually, when he was giving testimony of it, he was letting the people know, I'm still suffering from it. I'm not healed from it yet. But he was saying, you know, that the thought was, I've been praying for people who's far sicker, far worse off than what I've got. And I've been praying for them and them getting healed, and I'm still suffering. But the thing was, he knew how to pray for them. He knew what it was to suffer. I experienced the same thing while I was going through the mental illness and that back in 2017, I went up one of the trips to Ohio, and I preached a message, and that message, I didn't preach very long at all. I think maybe preached maybe about 50 minutes or something like that, 45, 50 minutes, something like that. And I preached a message that I titled Midnight. And I just preached, I prayed for sick people for longer period of time than what I actually spent preaching. And there was a young lady that came up that was suffering mentally through the same things I was suffering through right then. And I prayed for her, and God instantly healed her, and she came off medication and everything else, and she was completely healed and free. I went home still ill. But, and then in the Philippines in 2019, then I preached there, and then we were in questions and answers for the young people that in these meetings that we had for them, and there was actually a young lady there that was suffering from depression and mental illness and that, and I spoke to her a little bit, you know, there in the questions and answers session that we had, and that, and then we went on, had service that evening, whatever more services we had, and then, you know, everybody went their own ways and things back to their own homes and that. After the camp was dismissed, it was a youth camp, and that Sunday morning, I was taken out to this little village and a little community, and I got there, and I preached in this little church, and after I preached, you know, that young lady, I didn't know she was there. I didn't know where she was from. But that was her home church where I went and preached that Sunday. And she came out and gave a testimony. She says, I was suffering with these things mentally and that. And she says, and Brother Jerry spoke to me. She says, and I'm delivered and free now. Amen. You know, so, you know, it wasn't anything I've done. But it's like what I relate to is Brother Branham saying, look, I know what it's like. So I know how to pray. I know how to reach out. You know, and so God allows us many times. And what I'm pointing you at, I'm not trying to point you at myself. What I'm trying to point you at is you go through things. And what I want you to realize is many times the things you go through, you're going to benefit, but also others are going to end up benefiting from the things that you suffer and go through. That is the mind of Christ being in you. That is you being Christ-like, because others benefit from the things that you've went through and suffered. That's being Christ-like. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. And I pray, dear God, that you bless your people, dear God. And I pray, dear God, you go with them, Lord. As we so often say, we know, Lord, on Thursday nights that, you know, many of them got work that they have tomorrow and things they have to go do. And I pray you'll watch over them, Father, those that have to go out on the roads to go to work and work out in different places, that you'll watch over them, keep them safe, dear God, and help them through the remainder part of this week, dear God. Pray you'll bless them on the weekend. Bless our services coming up for this Sunday, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.